this morning. Our devotion comes from the Book of Acts, chapter 20. Sort of jumps around, so just jump around with me here. It's chapter 20 and verse 17 is the first one. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you and overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. When he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. Are there any announcements before we go to class? Invite somebody to come with you next Sunday. Next Sunday's called out, correct? And Brother Mary will preach also, so let's invite somebody next Sunday.
The title of our lesson today is A Church in Action. And our lesson text comes from Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. I'll read that at this time. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Now, we have here the Apostle John writing, and he's writing words that Jesus is speaking unto him, and he's writing to the seven churches, this church that right here being the church at Ephesus. But this is our Lord speaking through John while John is on the Isle of Patmos. Now, in each of the letters that these seven churches are getting, there is he says something a little bit different on each one at the start. In this particular one, Jesus is referring to himself as these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven candlesticks. That is the one that is carrying and in control and in charge, the head of the church. He's speaking here in that capacity. And as the head of the church, he's saying, I know the works that you're doing. I know what's going on, how that you are laboring, how the the feelings that you have, that you can't stand those that are doing evil, and that you're trying the spirits and finding the ones that are liars and rejecting them, and how that they has borne and has patience. He's speaking of these things that they've done. They've endured trials, and they've I believe this church in Ephesus has grown. It says it speaks of them as trying those that's evil and can't bear that. But then he goes on here in the fourth verse, and he says, in the fourth verse, it says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee." He's beginning to chastise them. Now, remember that this is the Lord speaking as the head of the church. He's chastising them. He says, "Because thou hast left thy first love." Now, what is that first love that he's speaking of? I believe it's the burden that a saved individual has for the lost, the desire to spread the gospel that the lost might be saved. Because I think that's first and foremost what a church ought to be doing. It ought to be spreading the gospel and taking the gospel to the lost, and having the Spirit of the Lord upon us as a church, that gospel might be have convicting power over the lost. Now we can meet together and we can have a form of worship, but if we don't have that Holy Spirit moving amongst us, then the lost aren't gonna be convicted. They're not gonna see themselves as God sees them and come under conviction and be saved. And I think that's what's going on here. That's what he's got against this church, is that they no longer have that burden to see the lost people saved. And I thought about that, what it would be like and everything. And I get a picture in my mind of a church that's adrift, and they're distracted. They're not focused on what's really important any longer. They're kind of like looking out at different things. And they're still, he's speaking here of the works and the labor that they're doing. They're still trying. They're still putting forth effort, but they're no longer focused the way that they need to be focused. And so I think that's this is a church that's, they still have the Spirit of God amongst them. They still have an opportunity. They're still a true church, but they're drifting away. They're on the wrong path. They're on the downhill slope, I guess you would say, on the slippery path here. And the Lord's warning them to watch out and to turn back. And this is something that really struck me here in the fifth verse. He says, "Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen." Think back where you used to be. Think back about how things used to be. Remember those times. You've fallen from those times. You've gone astray. He says, repent. Repent and do the first works. Repent. Get back to where you were. "Or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." Repentance is mentioned here twice in this verse. That tells me that it's something that's very necessary. It's not just an option. It's not just, oh, and you should repent, or you can, or that's something that's out there. They've got to repent before they can move forward, before they can get back to these first works. They have to repent. Now, something that I meant to bring up, and I forgot, but he says here, "unto the angel of the church." Now, Jesus wouldn't be having John write these words to an actual angel. I know that angels exist. And in my concordance in the middle of my Bible here, it's got that angel is messenger. So my personal thought is that this would be to the pastor of the church, but maybe not necessarily a pastor, but it's to a messenger. This is a message that is to be carried to the church. Over here in where it says in the fifth verse, it says, "We'll remove thy candlestick." Well, in the first chapter, in the 20th verse, he says, "The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks." The seven stars are the angels, that is, the messengers of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. So, since the candlestick is the church, he says, "and will remove thy church out of the place, except thou repent." That is, this church at Ephesus is no longer going to be a church. It's going to be dissolved in God's eyes. Now, there may still be a group of people meeting there, and they may still have a building, but they will no longer be a church, and except they repent. And again, repent is brought up twice here. So, you know, and I think this goes for all churches throughout all the ages. It's necessary when we as God's people, as a group, begin to stray off, we begin to lose focus, we get distracted, we start to allow things of the world to creep into our lives and to creep into our churches, we've got to repent, or else He will come and we won't be a church anymore. There might be people meeting here in this building, but except when we as God's people stray, we sin, unless we repent, we eventually, He's going to come along, and just as He did in Ephesus, He'll remove thy candlestick. He'll take the church away from Rose and Burbank. That's a very serious thing. It's something that we need to meditate upon, think about. We ought to take this with us throughout the week and keep it upon our hearts, because, you know, I don't think if we go back to Ephesus, I have no idea where this building was, where these people met. Obviously, the people would be gone from that time, but I don't think, as far as I know, that there's any people carrying on the work today in Ephesus. Now, I'm not saying there's not, because I don't know, but, you know, it's something that we need to bear in mind. But he goes on and he gives them some praise here, and he says, "But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitanes, which I also hate." I'm not 100% sure what the Nicolaitanes are, or what they believed, or what their deeds were, what deeds being something they were doing, works they were doing. From the studying that I've done, I believe that they were a people, a group of people that said there were levels in a church, and there was the leaders, and then there was the common people, the laity. And the leaders were head over the church, and they told the others what to do. And it says here that he hates that. If what I read was right, God hates that when men take upon themselves power over his church, that that's not the way it should be. And I take that to mean the preacher doesn't have a power over the church. He can't. He's not to be the one telling us, go do this and don't do that. But rather, he's to be the shepherd to protect, to guard against. And it's kind of a fine line when you stop and think about it, you know, to be a shepherd and an under-shepherd, and to protect the flock and to take power over that flock. But all the power and the leadership and the guidance is to come from the Holy Spirit, from Jesus himself. He is the head of our church. If it's a true church, he's the head of it. Now, if you go and you look at churches that tend to spring up, that and even if they don't spring up, if they come from a church that is truly a church, and that church grows as this church of Ephesus did, leaves the first work, and kind of, they'll eventually put a man in charge. They'll eventually have a hierarchy. Somebody reports to him, and somebody else reports to him. And you can read about the various denominations that are in this world today, and they all have a hierarchy. They all have someone that appoints a pastor. You go here and you preach, and you move from here over to here. They are led by men. And I think that's what he's talking about here. That's what God hates. And this church at Ephesus has rejected that. They found that to be false, and they don't find it biblical, and they don't see it taught anywhere in the Bible. And he's praising them to stick with that, to remember that, because I think that was probably the next thing that was coming for them. The next way that they were going to fall away from him would be to begin to appoint men in his place. And then he says here in the seventh verse, "He that hath an ear to hear, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." those people that are still able to hear have to listen. We as God's people have to let it enter our hearts. We can't stop our ears. We can't harden our hearts, because that's what will lead to this next step of this deeds of the Nicolaitan and other things that we can read about that creep into the true churches. But the answer, I believe, the way to keep that from happening goes back to the fifth verse: remember and repent. And again, I don't think I can stress this enough. The fact that the Lord put repent in that verse twice tells me that that was the only way that they had to turn things around, to get back where they needed to be. And they had that opportunity. They could do that. And they may have. I don't know. I mean, I don't know the history of that church. They may have repented and they may have lasted as a true church for another 100 years. I have no way of knowing. But the really important thing for us today is to hear these words and to let them go into our hearts and to understand and to take the warning that's given here, to, because I believe that there's still people here that have an ear to hear, that still can hear, that can still understand and can still turn to God. That may not always be the case. There may come along people after us that refuse to hear, to stop their ears and say, no, that's not what we want. Just as the it speaks in the Old Testament, I don't remember if it was Jeremiah or Isaiah, where it's, I think it was Jeremiah, where they said, we will not hear, we won't, where he said, turn unto me, and he would heal them, but they wouldn't, they refused to do that. And I didn't think to look that up, I wish I had, but I think that was the same spirit. That spirit of refusal to hear is the same spirit that can enter into our churches, the refusal to hear, because it's not really pleasant to repent. I mean, let's just be honest with each other. It's not something that we want to do. It's not something that comes natural. But it's something that's necessary when we turn from God. It's something that's necessary for the lost to do, to turn to God and repent. We know that. We don't have a problem telling them, you know, to be saved, you've got to repent. But, you know, it's not something that we as saved people many times want to hear. We want, I didn't really do anything wrong. We kind of want to reject that. That's not okay. It seems to me that this church of Ephesus was, they were falling away. It says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. What they fall away from? They fell away from the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. They weren't being led any longer the way they needed to be led. I'm not saying they weren't led at all ever at that point, but they were on the slippery slope going downhill. That's everything that I've got. Does anybody have any comments, any questions? I appreciate y'all showing up today, being here. Hope you got something from the lesson. If there aren't anything else to say, I'm done. We can be dismissed. Let's keep Brother Armour in our prayers and the other prayer request that's been mentioned in times past. Brother Quinn, would you dismiss us?
Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this Lord's Day and the opportunity we have to come back about our wonderful time. Thank you for the Sunday school lesson, for the one that taught it.